is a lot of... This has not been the best week we've ever had, has it been, for, well, anything, really.
It's definitely been in the bottom half.
Yeah, yeah. How about you, Becky?
The Ask an Atheist crew has had some trials and tribulations this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 253-584-1480. And the first piece of less than good news I'd like to bring to you is that we are... Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, is no longer among the living. He died this... He died, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, following complications from heart bypass surgery he underwent earlier this month. He was the commander of the Apollo 11 mission. He became the first human to set foot on the moon on July 20th, 1969. He went on to a career in politics and you know, has been a great speaker on, for the case for space exploration. And he's known for one of the more famous phrases. I think one of the phrases that Americans will be known for well after there's an America, if that should come to pass.
That's, I think it might be the most recognizable quote of the English language.
Of the English language. And that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And you have the, Becky wrote this down and she has the A, in parens because that's not in the recording. Everybody, I've heard a lot of people, I think he screwed up, but he says to this day that he said it, and it was actually a network error that caused that part to get dropped out. So, being a computer guy and someone who works in audio, I know that happens, so I tend to take his side on it.
You being a computer guy, me being a linguist, being focused on accuracy.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a friend of mine, I don't know if it's well known on the show, but I am a space case. I love space exploration. I love reading about space. I love reading, you know, someday maybe if the world does a complete 180, I'd like to be there. And I was talking about this with one of my friends, Jason, in Naperville. And he wrapped it all up and made it really sad by, he said, this is what he said, and then there were eight. And that's it. There are eight people on Earth left who have set foot on a sphere that wasn't Earth, and that number doesn't look like it's going up anytime soon.
And that's a giant shame.
I think that's a pretty big shame.
I think the moon landing is probably one of the utmost high points of human endeavor, one of the most wonderful human achievements that we've accomplished through science. It's amazing.
Yeah.
When you really think about it, you get these people into this small capsule, and there's an explosion underneath of them, and then our math is so good that we can actually land on another world.
We can talk about the politics of why it happened. We can talk about the, you know, what was going on there. But the fact of the matter is, it was a scientific endeavor that we managed to achieve.
I think one of the things that heartens me at this time is that a few weeks ago we had the Mars Curiosity landing that was followed by so many so intensively and with such excitement. And then shortly thereafter, I had the privilege to be gathered with some young people watching the night sky, and we happened to see the International Space Station as it, you know, as it orbits Earth, and it was hugely bright, and it was kind of low on the horizon. And there were some young people, about 9th and 10th grade, that stopped and said, there are people in that star right now.
I think the most awesome point for me was when the International Space Station was orbiting, and then right behind it was one of the capsules that was trying an experimental dock, and you could see both of them, and they were clearly in related orbits. That was really fun. Now, we've got some news, and the first thing is somebody who's been on the show a few times and is a great fan of the show, and I'd say a friend of mine, Sean Faircloth. He's going to be in the Pacific Northwest. He has a speaking engagement in Kennewick on September 14th, hosted by the Tri-City Freethinkers at the Kennewick Library, giving his compelling talk, How the Religious Right Harms Us All, and What We Can Do About It. You can search meetup.com or the RichardDawkins.net events calendar for information about that. If you haven't managed to see Sean Faircloth speak, and you can be in Kennewick, I would definitely say go.
Absolutely. He actually was the majority whip for the, was it Maine?
Yes.
State legislature. He's a great speaker. He's able to make a strong, fact-based moral case for church-state separation, and actually one of the most compelling that I've ever heard.
Yeah. And
it's fantastic. I've, you know, enjoyed hearing this talk before, reading his book, Attack of the Theocrats. It's out there. I think it's anyone who is interested in maintaining individual rights as an atheist or as a religious person. It's really integral to understand this and to work towards achieving that.
And we didn't get the event up until just recently. So post show is at Doyle's. Let's just start and say that right away.
Our post show meetup today.
Yeah, the post show meetup today. Also, and Moy, I could use it right now, but if you're interested in some smart comedy, Ask an Atheist is presenting the Delivered from Dogma Comedy Night, September 7th at 7 p.m. at the Jewel Box Theater at 2322 2nd Avenue in Seattle. You'll see Jeremy Whitman, who's a co-creator of Ask an Atheist, and he's a nationally touring comedian with the Mobile Asylum Tour, and Brad Upton, a past winner of the Las Vegas Comedy Festival and part of the HBO Comedy Festival. They're very fun comedians, and they've both worked with Ask an Atheist before on fundraising, and they're doing a different type of material that's more atheism-focused, I think, this time out. And so if you're really interested in smart comedy that is sort of in the same vein of Ask an Atheist, you really should make it to this. And all profits of this event go towards season 10 of Ask an Atheist. So you're helping future shows to get on the air by having this really fun evening.
Absolutely. I would definitely check it out. You'd be missing out if you saw this. Brad Upton, Jeremy, these guys are very, very funny guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a pretty intimate venue as well, in the Rendezvous restaurant. Sort of the Jewel Box Theater is tucked back there. So we do encourage everyone to look online and purchase their tickets in advance through Brown Paper Tickets. And you can do that by going to askanatheist.tv.
Yeah, it's right at the top there. So we have a special Peggy's challenge. We're not going to go into the whole spiel this day, but we'd like to say that we had a generous donation from Scott from St. Louis. This show is on him. What you're hearing right now is on him. So he sent an email to us recently.
Yeah, he said, I think I heard that it's about $3 a minute to have a show. So here is the equivalent to an entire show. Scott, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Our sponsor of the day.
Yeah, and he wanted to know specifically if that was the price. And it's pretty close, depending on the type of episode we do. It's a little more if we, you know, go do a remote show. But yeah, thank you for the show.
Absolutely. And like Sam said, this episode is on Scott from St. Louis. So yeah. If you're a member of the religious right and want to direct any hate mail,
send it to us. Come on. You know we love reading it. All right. So that's one laugh. But we have to get on to the bad news. If you're on the internet, you know, noticed we called this episode bad news. Bad news number one is that there was a recent shooting, and we have actually something rare for us. We have a statement we'd like to make known.
Yes, last week, a young man with a 9mm handgun named Floyd Lee Corkins walked into the Washington, D.C. lobby of the Family Research Council, a fundamentalist Christian lobbying group. Stopped by a security guard, Corkins opened fire, hitting the guard in the arm before being subdued and disarmed. Found in the shooter's backpack was additional ammunition and literature about the FRC's anti-gay policies and support of Chick-fil-A's recent statements about same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Corkins has a history of working with LGBT rights groups, which have been some of the first to condemn the shooting. The producers at Ask an Atheist want to communicate our sympathies with the security guard, his family, and all of those affected by the shooting. Tony Perkins, the Family Research Council's president and a former Republican lawmaker, held a press conference soon after where he laid the blame for the attack on the Southern Poverty Law Center, which had labeled the FRC as a hate group. Perkins claims that the SPLC label gave people license to use violence against their group and calls for the label to be removed. And it's here where my sympathy for the Family Research Council ends. Because their prescription for preventing a future shooting is basically amounting to telling their critics to just shut up. This is unacceptable and indicative of the Christian privilege that the FRC espouses and the hypocrisy they embody. In their world, only they are allowed to criticize their political opponents, often with junk science, with bigoted lies, and with slander. Mm-hmm. If any group is catering to a bullying environment that accommodates violence against its opponents, it's the FRC. When the African country of Uganda, with the overt influence of American evangelical leaders, was pushing a piece of legislation that included the death penalty for homosexuality, the U.S. Congress quickly condemned the bill with a resolution. The Family Research Council lobbied hard against the condemnation resolution. They've accused gays of serving in the military of being rapists. They've wrongly accused gay men of being pedophiles. And they've repeatedly put forward thoroughly debunked studies to support their lies about gays and lesbians. The Family Research Council has given the gay community a lot to fear because despite their extremism, they still have a lot of powerful political allies and like to flex their muscles in Congress quite a bit. Floyd Lee Corkins had every right to fear the FRC and damned good cause to be angry at them. His anger and his fear were totally justified. However, his violent actions were not and cannot be justified. The Southern Poverty Law Center didn't give him license to commit murder when they rightly labeled the Family Research Council as a hate group, just as the FRC didn't give him license to commit murder by lobbying for hateful legislation and making vile, bigoted statements. Floyd Lee Corkins is responsible for his actions, and he should face justice for them. And the fact that someone committed a terrible crime against the FRC doesn't render them immune to criticism. It doesn't cancel out the fact that they are and remain a hate group.
The fact at the end of the matter here is that they have basically said that because they've had violence committed upon them, that that justifies all of the hate, and I'm going to say this kind of carefully, but all of the rhetoric that they've used to inspire other people to hate. And basically, if this violent act nullifies all criticism of the Family Research Council, then what? I mean, I have two words: Matthew Shepard. What about that? And I think it's fair to say that the opinion expressed by Mike here really is the opinion of all three of us as the producers of Ask an Atheist. I don't think I have any trouble saying that
here. I will agree.
Yeah. So this is a rough one. I mean,
The fact that there's this supposition floating around that being labeled a hate group suddenly is encouraging people to effect or execute hate upon you through violent means is just completely, off the charts in terms of your understanding of classifications of sort of social groups, in terms of what they stand for.
Yeah, and this is not alone in being a hate group. I mean, the Aryan Nation was a hate group.
Yeah.
The neo-Nazis are a hate group.
Yeah.
The Ku Klux Klan is a hate group. But none of them deserve to have their members shot down in cold blood, unarmed by an armed individual who walks into their office building.
No one deserves that. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you write. You don't deserve to be gunned down in your office. That's just no good.
And the purpose of having a hate group designation is not to encourage any member of the organization or the organization itself to be targets of violence. The purpose of that designation and that label is to educate and to help people understand the ramifications of aligning with these certain groups, of working with these certain groups, and the kind of sort of influence, negative influence, socially negative influence, and personally negative influence that these groups have.
The Southern Poverty Law Center is not a branch of the government. They are a group. It's an organization of individuals, just like the Family Research Council.
Yeah, and they make their own statements about different groups, different organizations, different events,
yeah,
different TV shows, from their ideology.
Yeah,
and I think that they're actually very fair. The Southern Poverty Law Center. They labeled the Family Research Council a hate group, but haven't given that label to say focus on the family.
Right.
Both of them have the same opinions about gay marriage.
Yeah.
Both of them have the same opinions about gay adoption and gay rights.
Yeah.
But it's the Family Research Council that regularly puts out lies, debunked scientific papers, statements that have been thrown out years ago, and just outright fabrications about gay people, scientifically, socially, and it's that mislabeling and that, I guess, campaign of slander,
yeah,
is why they got the label of hate group and say Focus on the Family has not.
Right, yeah. If I were in the position of the SPLC, I might not be as careful when it comes to people like Focus on the Family than they are. And I think to some extent they are to be commended for that.
Yeah, they hold back, and
yeah,
they're far fairer to the FRC than the FRC is to anyone else.
I think besides just the lies that are put out there, the very fact that you would stand by an organization that would try and brush under the rug a condemnation against a law that calls for the death penalty for someone who is homosexual.
Yeah. I think this is an extension of, the, like you said, the Christian privilege here. But specifically, I think the mechanism here is that there's this new thread in the rhetoric of people who want dominionism. When they say that anytime I stand up, or we as a group and stand up, say, you should not have Christmas, Christmas should not be celebrated on government property, to the exclusion of everything else, that you should not demand the Ten Commandments on every wall in every classroom. You do not get to have these things. That they're saying that their inability to tell us exactly how we should feel and how we should think and what spiritual beliefs we should have is somehow an impugnment on their rights. And this is just another example of that.
It's probably one of the more absurd things that I've heard over the last few years, where somebody actually says, I'm a victim if I'm not allowed to victimize other people.
Yeah.
Because this is my religious beliefs, and my religious beliefs say I need to be in charge.
You know, but we can talk about that, but what it comes down to is that they may say really insensitive things, they may say really bad things, but as you made very clear, Mike, no one deserves to be shot for it. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're talking about bad news, and in a minute, we'll have our second piece of bad news.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.
Billy!
Not again!
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert!
Wow, that's so credible!
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you, and to give me your lunch money!
Aw, anything for family! Here you go!
Wait, Billy! Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence! Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp!
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And like I said, this is the day of bad news. And we've got another piece of bad news for you. And this goes back, this is about us. This is specifically about Ask an Atheist. Something we don't do very often. And what it basically comes down to is the Referendum 74 fight. And we did a stream-a-thon almost 2 months ago. And we've been, you'll notice that we haven't been talking a lot about it. And part of that is because we were bait and switched. Something very, very bad happened. And rather than just synopsize it for you, we're going to go through it in depth, but the end result of this is that they were happy to accept our money, but Ask an Atheist and other atheist organizations, as far as we know at this moment, will not be appearing on the Washington United for Marriage webpage.
On the coalition of over 300 endorsing organizations, businesses, faith groups.
Which includes churches, which includes LGBT organizations, which includes dog groomers, which includes an apiary, but our radio show will not be among them. What ends up being the decision of one person.
And explicitly because of the A word.
Because of the A word. We contacted Washington United for Marriage to make sure that they would not scoff at our fundraising or our coalition status, and we made it clear that we saw these things as connected. We were very careful. I thought we were very careful early on that before we announced the Streamathon, before we even announced what organizations we were going to be supporting for the Streamathon, we called them up and we said, we want to give you money, but we want to make sure that our money will be accepted publicly. We want to make sure that we're going to be on your coalition page, that we will be treated just like any other organization that raises money for you. And to be honest, it took some time to get that call back. We all three of us put a lot of work in trying to get their attention.
I can say that I personally submitted the logo of Ask an Atheist, yeah, and the information to put our logo up on the coalition website, the same as any other group.
Yeah.
No less than three times I did this. Every single time, I know we had talks about this, so the sort of delay on this, we're like, you know, they're really busy. This is a crazy campaign. A lot of things are happening. We want to give you the benefit of the doubt, so we're not going to assume that it's.
But we remember the American Cancer Society episode and how that went down. So we were very careful to make sure that we looked before we leaped.
And for our listeners, American Cancer Society debacle came when Todd Stiefel, who is a prominent freethinker, atheist, and has a foundation and works with Foundation Beyond Belief, wanted to work with American Cancer Society to have a matching donation for Relay for Life.
Yeah.
And was summarily dismissed.
So,
again, we'll take your money, but we don't want to be seen with you in public.
Yeah. So what happened there is they called us back a few days later, and, what they said was, yeah, absolutely. Everything will be fine. Everything is good. We understand that you have a controversial show, but we will put you on the show.
We'll put you on the page.
We'll put you on the page, and we'll accept your money. So we had the event. A little more than a week later, we got a call from Dustin Lambro of Washington United for Marriage, who's the outreach coordinator over there. We had a very actually loud and annoying conversation. And I'll admit, I got heated. We all got, it was not just him, but he basically said that we were, politically pariahs, that to have the atheism word on their page would not be a good thing, and that even though we've accepted their money and that they weren't afraid of us as atheists, that it would be too damaging to their political campaign to give us credit for this. And this was after. The important thing to note here is that this was after we made it very clear that part of the reason we were doing this was because we wanted to show that atheists also care about the social arena and want to work in situations like this.
Yeah, we really went out of our way to give the benefit of the doubt. Even at one point when we weren't getting answers, we talked to Equal Rights Washington, another LGBT rights group, and said, we're a little concerned that we haven't got an answer back. And they were like shocked. It's like, oh, we can't imagine that anyone would ever possibly turn this down. And then I remember when we had our producer meeting, Sam.
Yeah.
You walked in and all you did was yell an expletive.
Yeah, I did.
And I was like, oh no.
And the thing is that, you know, normally it's not nice to name specific names, but in the case of Dustin Lambro, he made it very clear that basically the buck stopped there. And everybody we talked to at Washington United for Marriage said that, yeah, we're not in a position, or we don't want to reverse his decision. This is his decision, and we're going to stand behind him. So when it became very clear to us that we weren't going to get anywhere with Washington United for Marriage, we went back to Equal Rights Washington, and we specifically had a conversation with Josh Freeds and Doug Hamilton at Equal Rights Washington, and they've been very positive about what we're doing, even to the point where they actually did a Facebook post specifically highlighting what Ask an Atheist was doing and the kind of money that we were raising for them. Are we raising a lot of money? Not in the face of donations from organizations like Microsoft and Amazon, who are throwing them hundreds of thousands of dollars at a time.
But for us?
But for our tiny little show in Tacoma, I thought we did pretty well. And it was really nice of Equal Rights Washington to set that out. They also said that they would try to work with Washington United for Marriage to get them to change their mind, but that didn't really go anywhere. And that was a month and a half ago. And I think we've been very, you know, we tried to work within their system. We tried very patiently. You know, we worked with ERW. We tried contacting Washington United for Marriage. This week we found out that there were other atheists working on the Ref 74 thing, and that they were not being as circumspect as we were. about whether or not about this ongoing problem.
We have a friend of ours who works with another atheist local community organization that went in, and when she mentioned that she was representing an atheist organization and wanted to get her organization's name up on the website too, Of course, the temperature in the room drops. Like, oh, are you affiliated with that other atheist group, the radio show that's getting mad at us?
Now, to be fair, I was on the receiving end of this phone conversation, and I do not know the actual tone of voice that was used, but it was that this particular volunteer associated with the atheist organization said, are you by any chance affiliated with them? Because they got really mad when we wouldn't include them on our endorsers page.
I don't really think that matters, because they made it very clear that while we were trying to solve this problem, we were going to handle it very privately, and we respected that request, and they did not. That's what it comes down to for me, is that we really tried to work with them because this is something that matters to us too. But at the end of the day, we are Ask an Atheist. Just as we've been telling people, is that the show is not Ask a Ref-74 supporter. It's not Ask a person from the LGBT community. It's Ask an Atheist. Our job here, specifically after the Haiti earthquake, when the News Tribune here in Tacoma ran an editorial that said there are hundreds of thousands of people dead or hurt or whatever, where are the atheists with their support? And the fact of the matter is, we've always been there, but whenever we ask for recognition, just like any other church, any other interfaith group, this kind of thing happens.
That suddenly we become the third rail. And the part that offends me most, and I've encountered this before, is there's a real dismissive attitude that people take when you mention that atheists do discriminated against in this country.
Yeah.
And often it's by people you wouldn't expect. It isn't just the 700 Club that calls us names.
No.
It's some of the most progressive people.
And what really bothered me, what turned this into just an argument into something that just hurt me so bad personally, was that the last time I was spoken to like this, the last time that somebody in a position of political power spoke to me like this, was when I was working for the Gay Straight Alliance at a university. And we were working with political organizations as the GSA to get some cross work done, to work together as a community to say that. And I tried to tell him this, is that I have not been treated this baldly, this condescendingly, since I was working primarily in the LGBT community. And it fell on deaf ears, and I don't understand it.
The part that gets me, and we've talked about this, Sam, is that it hasn't been that long ago, not even 20 years, that people like Dustin Lambro were on the other side of a desk talking to somebody who said, well, you have to understand, you're political poison, you're a leper, it's just best if you just give us money quietly and go away. We don't want to be seen with you because you're just going to ruin everything.
Yeah.
Even if they sympathize with our position, just preferring that we stay quiet is not how the LGBT community gained such large acceptance and mainstream, visibility that it has now.
Yeah. I mean, it goes against a lot of, a lot of this is really difficult for me because I know that we've been pushing the Referendum 74 thing in the Streamathon as a group that we've been working together, but this has always been a very important personal push of mine, that this was something I've always wanted to do, and this was something that I thought the atheism visibility movement and specifically Ask an Atheist should be involved in. Not to say that I took charge, but I took sort of a personal ownership of this. It was very important to me, and I was very concerned about making sure that the goals of Ask an Atheist and the Referendum 74, supporters were met. I really tried to be careful about that. And I feel like you guys, both you guys and people who listen to the show, I feel personally about this. I feel like I've let you guys down. I feel like want to be here. This is not an argument I ever wanted to have.
I didn't want this either. This was always the worst case scenario. You don't need to take anything on yourself. This is Dustin Lambro. This is a guy who is a well-placed politico in Washington State.
Yeah.
And he is going to basically make this attitude that we are essentially political poison, and he should know better, because it wasn't that long ago before the group he represents now was political poison.
For sure. There were people working within the LGBT community for years and years who quietly waited and were so patient. But all along the way, there were also the hell no, we won't go following up on all sides. And it's time a little bit for us to say, hell no, we won't go.
And I feel ridiculous asking for... It seems ridiculous to me that I feel so badly and I feel like I've let the community down when we were asking for so little. We weren't asking for anybody at Washington United for Marriage to say, yes, the atheists are fantastic. We weren't asking them to agree. We weren't asking them even specifically for our logo. Any atheist organization logo would have been acceptable to us. I made that clear in the conversation that anything, just so that my community could be out there showing, yes, we care about these things. We are not being allowed to say that we care. We are not being allowed to say that this matters to us. But it's not much. It's 100 pixels by 100 pixels on a page with 200 logos on it.
Yeah. And you imagine what the response had been. Let's just say this is a Muslim group.
Yeah.
And this group would come back with, well, you have to understand, this is very politically charged. No. No other group would accept this. And it's amazing that the attitude that they keep coming back to is that, why are you shocked that you're poisonous? Why are you shocked that you're bad? It's like, you know, your forebears never, the reason that you are where you are is because they didn't accept that answer.
Yeah. And we have to say what we're doing going forward. We have to talk about what forward direction, because we can't just stay here. We have to move forward. And first things first, we are not changing our opinion on Ref 74. Vote for it.
No, the only reason we maintain that, or I maintain that the only reason that marriage should be between one man and one woman is religiously based. And if you have true separation of church and state, we cannot let religious dogma and religious tradition govern the rights, the civil rights of citizens in our state.
We are not saying, we're not even saying don't work on referendum 74 getting passed. We're not saying step away. We're not even saying that. This is too important. This is too important. But we will not work with Washington United for Marriage anymore. They've made it clear how they feel about us. We will work with Equal Rights Washington, who every step of the way has been very positive. You know, I feel like they could have done more, because at the I have to admit that, because Washington United for Marriage is a coalition of groups, including Equal Rights Washington. And I feel like they could have gone to bat a little bit more for us. But I have to be grateful for getting the message out. I can't just turn my back on that. So I will continue. I will say to other atheism groups, other humanism groups out there, work with ERW.
Yeah.
Equal Rights Washington existed before the campaign. It will remain after the campaign ends. Because we all know that even just gaining marriage rights in the state of Washington does not mean that LGBT folks are treated as equal citizens in all respects.
Yeah, and it's important to talk about why we couldn't remain silent about this.
Yeah.
Is that I can't imagine any other group accepting the idea that you just have to be quiet for the greater good, that you just have to shut up and go away.
Yeah.
But still, we'll happily take your labor, we'll happily take your money, but just shut up and go away. No other group would do that. And here's the thing, and this is the thing that I've really come to understand, is that almost every other group will have defenders except for us. Yeah. I'm not saying we have it as bad as some other groups. Nobody's dragging us behind a pickup truck. But when somebody says something bad about atheists, if you really want to talk about where are the other people, where are the people who defend us? Not that we're right about religion, not that we're right about the non-existence of God, but just that we're not monsters.
Yeah.
And that's what hurts the most. It isn't just that Pat Robertson says bad things about us, it's that I expect better of these people, because they should know better.
For those of you who participated in the Ask an Atheist Dreamathon, I have a request. I think, actually, if you're in Washington, if you're not in Washington, but specifically if you participated in the Washington, in the Ask an Atheist 24-hour Streamathon, contact Washington United for Marriage. And if you donated to Washington United for Marriage, it's time to ask for your money back. It's time to make it very clear. Do we want them to not have money or resources to fight this fight? No. We want them to change their mind. We want to be included just like any other organization, just like all the interfaith groups, just like the apiaries, the dog washers, the real estate folks. We just want to be on there just like anyone else. As soon as they make that decision, we will 180. We will, you know, that's all. This is one decision by one person that needs to be reversed. Let them know how you feel. It's time, it, it, you know, we tried working with them. We waited quietly for almost 2 months. And the only reason we're talking about it publicly now is because it seemed like they weren't really holding up their end of the bargain anymore, which really just hurts a little more to me. Because we worked with them. We contacted Hemant Mehta of the Friendly Atheist and said, you know, when you were working on the American Cancer Society thing, how did you handle this? And he said, work within the system, be patient. And I feel that we did all of those things, and then the ball was dropped on us, not the other way around. If you choose to continue working on Ref 74 and LGBT rights, I say, really, contact ERW. In addition to the money that we raised for Referendum 74 for Washington United for Marriage, because there were people who didn't want to fill out the political forms or because there were people outside of the country, we collected money for ERW. That money is still going to ERW.
And Equal Rights Washington has an educational fund as well as a political fund. There, it works on both streams, both
and,
ends. Of
and my things. My request to you is to ask for your money back from Washington United for Marriage. Tell them why. Tell them how they can keep it. And once you have that money back, just turn around and give it to Equal Rights Washington. That's really the best way to do this. It's a way that we can continue fighting for the things that we care about and let the people who have made a grave mistake know that they have a mistake. Because these people are not bigots. These are not bad people. They, you know, some of them privately have said they really support what we're doing. Some of them have said they really like what we're doing. But they have a job to do just as we do. And so all we need to do is give them a chance to recognize the mistake they've made.
And to correct it.
And to correct it.
Well, they're not bigots. They're accommodating bigotry. And that's a mistake. And that's a mistake that they could fix in a day.
Yeah. Well, that's a mistake. I am a technologist. It's a mistake they could fix in 10 minutes if they wanted to. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. I'm really sorry, atheism community. I'm really sorry that I put us here. We'll be back in a minute, and we're going to have the one shining moment in this episode of Bad News with a moment of science.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, Knowledge Night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And with us now is Dan Lombardo. How are you?
I am pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good. So he's been a longtime supporter of the show, and he's got this really great thing for us, a moment of science.
Hi, I'm Dan Lombardo, and this is a moment of science. This week, I want to talk to you about radiocarbon dating. You probably heard that scientists have determined the age of an ancient person's remains or some other organic object, but how do they really know? radiocarbon dating. Everything is made of elements, not earth, fire, wind, water, and heart, but elements from the periodic table, like hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, silicon, and uranium. The smallest unit of any element is the atom, which has three main components: protons and neutrons, which make up the atom's nucleus, and the electrons that orbit that nucleus. The number of protons that an atom has defines precisely what element it is. For example, carbon has 6 protons, nitrogen has 7, and lead has 82. It's the number of protons, and that alone, that defines an atom as one element or another. However, and here's where it gets weird, atoms can have varying numbers of neutrons in their nucleus. It's the number of neutrons that determines the isotope or variety of any specific element. The most common isotope of the element carbon is carbon-12, which has 6 protons and 6 neutrons. 6 plus 6 equals 12. Carbon-12, get it? However, a less common variety is called carbon-14 and only makes up about 1 part per trillion of the carbon in our atmosphere. Carbon-14 has 6 protons and 8 neutrons. 6 plus 8 equals 14, see? But here's the cool bit. Carbon-14 is radioactive. It undergoes what's known as a beta decay, in which one of its neutrons suddenly becomes a proton, ejecting an electron and an antineutrino. I told you it got weird. Now, this former carbon atom has 7 protons instead of 6, which makes it nitrogen by the definition of that very same 7 protons. It still has 7 remaining neutrons, though, so now it's called nitrogen-14. It turns out that carbon-14 has a half-life of about 5,730 years, plus or minus 40 years. That means that a sample of carbon with a certain amount of carbon-14 will only have half of that amount 5,730 years from now, since it will have decayed into nitrogen-14. 11,460 years from now, after 2 half-lives, it'll only have a quarter of the original amount, and in 16,110 years, after 3 half-lives, it'll only have an eighth of that original amount. The rate of carbon-14 decay is always the same, all over the world, so by measuring the relative amounts of carbon-14 and nitrogen-14 in a sample, we can tell how old it is. Well, 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 you might be saying, so if all this carbon-14 decays at the same rate all the time, why is there any left at all? Shouldn't it all have decayed by now? Well, it's about to get weird again. Nitrogen-14 in our atmosphere is constantly bombarded by cosmic rays, solar wind, and other crazy stuff. That nitrogen-14 sometimes gets hit by a flying neutron from space, and this destabilizes its nucleus and causes it to shoot a proton out, which means its new identity is now the rare radioactive isotope, carbon-14. Plants take that carbon out of the air in the form of CO2 and turn it into all sorts of cool stuff during photosynthesis and other processes, but when that plant dies, it stops taking in new CO2, so that carbon-14 will keep decaying, and there will be proportionally less and less of it as it's no longer being replaced by the new carbon the plant used to take in. We can tell by the amount of carbon-14 left, relative to its more common little brother carbon-12, how long ago that plant died. And since animals that eat those plants also continuously cycle the carbon in their bodies from the food they eat, we can tell approximately how long ago such an animal died. If something eats that animal, the same applies. This works throughout the entire food web on all carbon-based living things, which is all living things. There is a limitation, however. After about 60,000 years, plus or minus 2,000 years, there's so little carbon-14 remaining in a sample that it becomes difficult to detect. That's when we turn to other types of radiometric dating, such as potassium-argon or uranium-lead dating. But that's another topic for another day. I'm Dan Lombardo, and I hope you enjoyed this moment of science.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. That was pretty cool. That's going to be an ongoing bit in the show, I think, and it needs some theme music, I think, guys. Like, moment of science, dunna dunna, or something like that. How about you?
A little Bondy in there.
Yeah.
Okay. I like the gravitas. I mean, as a giant Queen fan, if there's anything that I like, it's gravitas.
Fair enough. So we have a call. This is Casey from Tacoma, and he wants to talk about the blogathon thing. How you doing today, Casey?
I just wanted to let you know that got me kind of irate. I was part of that blogathon, and I think that what we were doing should have been the actions should have be speaking for themselves rather than the name Ask an Atheist. And so I just wanted to let you know I contacted the News Tribune like immediately. I sent them an email, and I think we should all do the same just to create a wave of information that maybe they'll pick up a story on that, since after all they were the ones who said, "Where are the atheists?" Well, here we are.
Yeah. Well, it's a very, the interesting thing about the News Tribune editorial for after the Haiti earthquake that, that we talked about is that we asked them if we would have an opportunity to post on the editorials page in response, and we were flatly denied. So, you know, the News Tribune is definitely somebody we should contact, but if we want to take this to the media, we should contact other media institutions as well. But I'm a little concerned. I mean, this is a very thin line to walk. Where we want them to get them to change their message. We want them to understand the mistake they made and then correct it. But we also, I would feel very uncomfortable hurting the chances of Ref 74 passing.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, it's a tough line to walk. That there has to be consequences for discrimination. And I want Ref 74 to avoid those consequences more than anything. I really want them to... I really want them to step it up and stop this. More than anything else, because this really hurts. I mean, that's really what I came out of this. I'm angry, but that angry comes from a place of hurt.
Yeah.
And the most baffling thing is that most of the folks that we have talked to are wholly supportive of atheists working, together with all other groups, wholly supportive of, you know, any kind of religious preference or non-religious preference, and don't have anything against us, but are so scared by the possible reaction to having atheists alongside them. They themselves do not hate us. They are too scared of the people who do hate us. And I think that that's what is unfortunate, that's the thing that hurts. And that's the thing that's just so difficult in all of this. This kind of process was not gone through without tremendous heartache on our part.
Yeah, like I said, we've been sitting on this for nearly 2 months, and I'll tell you, it has emotionally affected me. I've been kind of in a down state ever since I had that argument with Dustin Lambro. It's been very difficult for me. So, anything else, Casey?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I think the ironic part about this is they basically just told us, "Hey, atheists, don't ask, don't tell."
Wow. Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for your call.
Okay.
All right. Bad news number 3.
Yeah, let's pull that Band-Aid off.
All right. There's our friends, some of whom who are friends and some of them I may be speaking euphemistically, at Freethought Blogs have recently unveiled a new brand of, a new branding for the atheism visibility movement called Atheism Plus.
Which is like new atheism?
Yeah, yeah. It's not, when one looks at the sort of their statement of beliefs and what they want atheism to be, they're really advertising it as atheism plus social justice. And with the platforms that they're advertising, I think it very much is atheism plus social justice. And I don't necessarily have a disagreement with that.
Now, Jen McCrite, who is a local blogger to us, she's in the Seattle area, and she blogs at Black Hag on Freethought Blogs. She was the one that unveiled this and said that the goals that she's been sort of brainstorming with others about is addressing from a secular and skeptical perspective, some of sort of these big, meaty social issues like racism, sexism, homophobia, classism, animal welfare, things in the political sphere like healthcare, drug laws, things like that.
Yeah.
But doing it from a specifically atheistic, secular, and skeptical perspective. So the first thing that struck me actually is this is very much aligned with humanism.
But all right, before we get into the humanism thing, because that's really part of, all right, I'll let you know right now, not a fan so far. I think I can be convinced, but what's happened so far, I've not really been impressed by. But let's just get it right out there. The social justice values that they're attaching to the A+ movement, do we have any real problem with that? Mike?
Not really.
I don't personally, no.
Neither do I.
I'm wholly supportive and of examining and combating these social ills.
This is stuff that you and I specifically support as people who sit on the board of Humanists of Washington. But
one of the really interesting things is that so far what I've seen Atheism Plus build as is something more than humanism. So here's the problem with that. There seems to be in sort of a blogosphere and in comment forums and in Facebook pages and online, a sort of misapprehension of what secular humanism is. It's been billed as, well, just not as confrontationalist, not as in-your-face as someone who calls himself an atheist. It's also been billed as, well, humanists also really like their ritual, and they're kind of semi-religious, and I don't like that. Both of which, both of those assertions are, you know, first of all, do not apply to many humanists,
yeah.
Do not apply to humanist groups, and troublingly have been repeated by prominent bloggers and podcasters. Something that was very heartening is that Greta Christina, who is a friend of the show, she's been on the show before.
Yeah.
She wrote a post about the difference between Atheism Plus and humanism, and was later corrected, and corrected the body of her essay.
Not only was corrected, but accepted the corrections.
Yes.
That's what I think is really important here. And is I think if more people touting, holding up the Atheism Plus banner right now, took more of the Greta Christina model, I would have way fewer objections.
I mean, really, if for me, and I've not I haven't really dived into this in the same
right.
respect that you guys have, but I've been able to see this from the sidelines of Facebook,
yeah.
where I have many friends that are on sides of this, and I gotta say, as a product rollout, this has completely failed. That I can't imagine a car company that the main thrust of their promotion is what a horrible person you are if you don't think this car is really great.
Yeah. Now, there is a divide here, is that there's the sort of the, and this is part of the problem. There's the official, sort of the official press behind Atheism Plus, the press release style, blog post, the Q&A. And you've been paying a lot of attention to that, Becky, right?
I have. There's sort of a divide between this. There's an effort to make Atheism Plus inclusive to marginalized groups and individuals. One of the problems I see there is that when off the bat you define who isn't welcome, it defeats the sort of additive nature of that plus and devolves into very subtractive language. And for a lot of the social science research that's been out there, a lot of social science research has shown the really damaging outcomes of subtractive language and actions and zero-sum thinking.
Mike and I have been paying more, like you just said, we've been paying more attention to some of the, I've been reading the blog posts, but I've been paying attention to more of the behind the scenes, the people in chat rooms, the people in threads.
Well, I've been watching how people have been responding to it,
yeah.
and it seems like 90% of the posts, it, rather than saying, we're rolling out this thing, this is great for our movement, this is great, this is going to expand us, is going to move us into areas we haven't been before.
Yeah.
It's more feels like this line in the sand has been drawn, and you're saying, which side are you on, huh? Are you going to fight it? Are you going to be a knee-jerk fighter of this? And I'm like, whoa, hold on. I haven't even heard the sales pitch yet. I don't want the either-or sort of gauntlet throwing. And right off the bat, that to me isn't going to help this thing grow.
I would be a gung-ho supporter of Atheism Plus if there weren't for two things. And the first one is being told that humanism isn't enough. I am a humanist. I sit on the board of directors of Humanism Washington. Most of my community organizing and all my work there happens under the banner of humanism. I am an atheist. I am loud about my atheist. I am anti-theist. I am not an accommodationalist. There are a lot of people like me, not just here, but in Chicago and in Arizona. And we're basically being told that all of the work, I'm being told that in order to accept the Atheism Plus banner, I have to sort of ignore the work I've been doing as a humanist. And I don't appreciate that.
And that's what I see, is a lot of really good people being branded or at least implied as potential enemies from simply asking critical questions. And I think if there's one thing that our movement should be about, it's always the acceptance of any sort of question and being willing to answer it without getting defensive or getting angry. And what I see with this is they throw out ideally who are really bad people who fight them and get into fights with them online, and saying, and sort of implying that if I ask the question that I'm somehow bleeding into that group.
Mm-hmm. But that hasn't been uniform, has it?
No, I mean, one of the examples is Richard Carrier on Richard Carrier blogs, on Freethought blogs, who had a very sort of vitriolic, strident post about, and I quote, "You're with us or GTFO."
Yeah.
And that to me just had such an effect on me that made me, you know, outright reject this. I went poking around a little bit more, and I saw some heartening things, like Jason Tebow, who blogs as Lousy Canuck, saying, you know, if you're skeptical or hesitant to take on the label, you know, please get the idea out of your mind that you wouldn't be welcome in these social movements amongst us.
there's a part of this also. The second point of contention for me is one that I think they're not going to really like very much. And feel free to back me up on this or not, but I'm going to just come out and say this is Sam Olvey saying this, is that the stage-managed nature of this press release and the fact that there have been meetings that haven't been public and that there's been private, as Becky put it, there have been private brainstorming sessions before public brainstorming sessions?
Yes, Jen McCrite had said that she had been brainstorming with some friends before sort of unrolling this. And then one of the things that really struck me was the very collective nature of positive bloggers, mostly on Freethought blogs. We see things like, we're propagating memes, we're spreading ideas, and people gathering under our banner. It speaks to the very collective nature of this.
And that's what it comes down to, is that it seems like, intentional or not, there's sort of a way they're trying to invent a term for atheism that they have control over and essentially establish a hierarchical power structure for atheism.
I worry a bit about that labeling too, because it comes down to the Trekker, Trekkie, Christian, Christ follower thing, where you create a label simply for the ability to exclude people from it.
Right.
Or to exclude yourself from people you don't like. And that's a problem, because they're rolling this out again like it's a car company, but a car company owns the car.
Right.
If it's an idea and it's part of a movement, we should all own that, and we should be participants rather than, you know, customers.
But what I'm concerned by is, I understand that they want to separate themselves from the broken part of the atheism movement. I'm not saying there isn't a broken part, and I understand that they want to separate themselves from it, and I think they deserve we all have the right to self-identification. But I think the end result of this is going to be a brand that they can control, that they can then accidentally or intentionally marginalize people when they don't agree. And having done the feminism episode, I feel like I'm on the other side of that.
Yeah, I think if there's something we found, is that it was amazing how quickly it was to get labeled as an enemy from some people.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just actually saying hateful things, but just asking in good faith critical questions. And I think those should always be welcome.
Yeah, and I'm willing to say, I support Atheism Plus. I am not decided. I'm not 100% decided on this yet, but like you said, it's been a really crummy rollout. I'd like to see some of my concerns addressed before I make an answer.
I'd like to see a good faith, you know, looking at humanism, the rich history that the humanist community has brought in America and in Britain and in other places in the world, to see, is it really a non-confrontationalist sort of community? Is it really someone who's a community that's obsessed with rituals? Or is there a place for you in it?
And some shows, The Atheist Experience, a couple podcasts, have come out saying they're going to be Atheism Plus shows. Mike, I think we want to capture atheism warts and all. I think Atheism Plus is going to be part of what we cover in Ask an Atheist, right?
Yeah, we're a collage of different things, and we have to cover all of it. We're not an ideologue show.
Yeah, that's all the time we've got. This is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam Olvey. With me today was Mike Gillis, Rebecca Freeman, and special guest Dan Lombardo. As usual, our music is by Chris Coleman. My production assistants were Darren Garvin and Rebecca Freeman. Post show is at Doyle's. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. You can give us a voicemail at 206-420-0997. See you guys next week.
Plug Radio, your conversation station. KLAY Lakewood Tacoma on 1180 AM.